You know, I always like to take this opportunity to talk about myself.
Woo!
Looking man, the best dressed man. You know why? Woo, because my name's Ric Flair.
Woo!
Hello and welcome back to the only 7-star wrestling radio show on planet Earth. This is Indie Wrestling Radio. I am the Sly One, Jordan Fox, and with me today, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. Floyd, we got some stuff to unpack, bro. What's going on?
Dude, I honestly can say, like, as far as SmackDown, you might not have liked everything that happened, but you can't say nothing happened on the show.
Yeah, that ain't no lie.
So much stuff happened. Before we show, yesterday was National Shit on Nia Jax Day. She's a horrible worker that kills everybody now because she hurt Becky, and it was like she hurt Becky, but she made Becky about 2 to 3 times more famous.
Let me tell you two things.
That picture of Bloody Becky is everywhere on the internet.
Yep.
This is what the man looks like. I see so many pictures of that. Number two, she doesn't have to take that loss to Ronda this Sunday.
Yeah. True.
I think Nia Jax hitting Becky will do more to build Becky than missing this match hurts Becky.
I would probably agree because, and sorry, I was getting a drink of coffee there. And I'm going to go off of a little bit of what Dave Meltzer said this morning, or last night rather, on the show, on his Wrestling Observer Radio. But he said that now that they're putting Charlotte in place of Becky at Survivor Series, that people within WWE are having rumblings about the co-main event of WrestleMania no longer being Ronda versus Charlotte, but being Ronda versus Becky. So that injury could have just taken Ronda from being the probably, you know, the main event of Survivor Series and boosting her up to the co-main event of WrestleMania.
Yeah, and I said that too. I'm just like, it's going to do so much more for her. I'm like, and if you really want to go with this Becky character, and I'm going based on the new Becky character, not what Becky was in the past. Oh, now they do dual pay-per-views. Well, unless they kind of building up to Nia and Ronda at the next pay-per-view, right?
Okay.
Oh, Becky Lynch comes in and whoops Nia Jax's ass. And gets her payback.
Yeah.
Dude.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's such a Stone Cold thing to do. And this Becky Lynch thing is such a Stone Cold type character. Only thing I didn't like, and we'll talk about this in a moment on the show, there was one small thing I think was a misstep with her character. But, Nia Jax, shit happens, dude. Owen Hart, no one thinks worse of Owen Hart for that incident with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Right.
Owen Hart was considered one of the best wrestlers in the world, one of the best trained wrestlers in the world from the wrestling family, and he fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Samoa Joe, one of the best wrestlers in the world, with Tyson Kidd, he fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. It sucks. And I know the Brie Bella thing happened, but to me, Brie Bella had a history of messing up and injuring people. Now, I'm hearing that Nia might have been the reason for Alexa's concussion, and if that's the case, you know, you need to work with her. But the thing is, they bring in wrestlers and they fast track them. And she's only been wrestling 4 years. We brought that up yesterday.
Right.
She's only been wrestling 4 years, which is nothing when it comes to wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, nothing.
Yeah, that's nothing. The truth.
As Jordan Grace said, it took her 10 years to become an overnight success. Pete Dunne is like 24 and he's been wrestling 11 years.
Right.
I mean, the people that are truly great put in time and know it's patience. Nia's, like I said, she's in her fourth year. Now, that punch could have happened to anyone. The Rocky, Sylvester Stallone's character, says, you know, a rite of passage in the Rocky series is to get accidentally knocked out choreographing the fights. It was a rite of passage.
I want, and we're definitely going to talk more about Becky. We're going to talk more about Nia Jax and and all that. I want to ask you something else. Mm-hmm. What do you think about the new WWE World Champion, Mr. Daniel Bryan?
Yeah, it's a crazy day when we have a new WWE champion, and we don't start the show with that because so much happened yesterday, we didn't know what to start with.
That's a good point. We crowned a new champion less than 12 hours ago, and we did not start the show with it.
Yeah, and I honestly can say there is a very few times that would happen with me because I consider the belts very important. But so much happened last night that we're about to unpack as the show goes on that it was like, okay, WWE champion, because it came out of nowhere.
Right.
It came out of nowhere. And Daniel Bryan successfully defeated AJ Styles. He took a shortcut, which was a major storyline. I don't know if you know about Chelsea Green's character and what she plays, called the Hot Mess.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this thing where she starts off normal in the match, and she eventually, by the end of the match, she goes, like, paints on the messed up lipstick and goes crazy and mm-hmm. becomes the Hot Mess.
Right.
That's kind of what happened with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. Do you know how they're explaining it? Is he just getting so mad that he's just losing his cool? Or
this is how I explained it to JG. And again, I care about more the story of wrestling.
Hey, real quick, shout out to JG. JG's avid listener of the show, always commenting on the links whenever he starts and whenever he finishes the episode. So JG, big shout out, my man.
Definitely. And so I was sitting there last night, and I just had this thought, and he was like the only one online, so I was like, dude, I got to tell you how this plays out in my mind. And I said, so you're Daniel Bryan. You're the top wrestler in the world after WrestleMania 30. You're on top of the world, undisputed champion, right?
Right.
You get hurt. You never really get to fulfill your destiny as the champion. Someone tells you you can't wrestle. You do everything you can to come back. You come back, but by the time you come back, there's this new guy. And unfortunately, this new guy's better than you, right?
Okay.
So you have the story about how you're going to come back and how everything's going to fall into place, and you're going to get on top, and then you run into this guy that's better than you. What do you do? Do you quit? Accept that he's better than you and accept that you're a mid-carder now? Or do you cheat? Or do you get ahead? Do you do what The Miz has done his whole career? I think that's the story they just told. He tried to do it the right way. He was frustrated, and he was tired of people getting ahead of him by doing it the wrong way.
Wow. I like it. I like it.
So he snaps. Because, you know, Daniel Bryan was a heel. Before he was yes, 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 he was no, no, no.
Right, right.
You know, he wasn't above kicking somebody in the ding ding.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so it's like we got back to that Daniel Bryan, and it was just how it was done. They wrestle a clean match, you know. AJ works his knee. Brian works AJ's arm. They both get each other in the finisher. And the snapping point was when he got him in the yes lock in the middle of the ring and AJ didn't tap. And he almost turned into a Styles Clash.
Mm-hmm.
And he reverses it and he goes for the phenomenal forearm. And the ref's right there and he's like, dude, I've done everything I can to beat this guy. Right in the ding ding, and then he just kicks him in the balls, and then he hits him with the that knee. And for the second year in a row, the Tuesday before Survivor Series, we get a new WWE champion.
Incredible, right?
Yeah, incredible. 371 days as champion, AJ Styles, one of the longest reigns. One of the longest reigns in modern wrestling history. I thank him. A lot of people did not like this reign. I was not one of them because I felt like it was the wrestler's reign. He, you know, he wrestled and beat people. You know, it wasn't super exciting, but it's what a lot of people claim they want in wrestling. You know,
right?
They claim they want the sport. They claim they want actual competition. Well, you know, you had the thing with Samoa Joe, but for the most part, he just beat the people that were put in front of them.
This reign resembled a New Japan title reign than most any other WWE title reign that I remember. It was 95% of it, like you said, besides the Samoa Joe angle, it was the majority of it was more about sport than it was storyline.
Yeah.
Am I right?
They lined him up and he beat him.
Yep.
Exactly. That was what he did, and it was like, so it was, to me, I thought it was a really good reign. I thought it's a SmackDown reign, because SmackDown is closer to more wrestling than, you know, the whole entertainment aspect. And now you got Daniel Bryan leading the charge, and it's just like, for all those people, you couldn't wait for Daniel Bryan to come back. And he was like, you should put the title immediately on him. The WWE said, you know what, we know what you want. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to give it to you. We're going to give you what you want, but not the way you want it. And for me, I like it because I didn't see it coming. And that's when wrestling's best to me.
Absolutely.
I thought AJ was going to tap him out again to show that he could tap out Brock Lesnar on Sunday.
Yep, I agree. That's what I thought as well.
Yeah, so he was like, yeah, and you know, show he was going to tap out Brock Lesnar on Sunday. Well, we got Daniel Bryan winning the title. Shocking victory, you know. But, you know, people shouldn't be shocked that they didn't give him the title until after he signed that contract.
Oh, yeah. You know? No, I don't think too many people, if you really think about it and you knew the contract negotiations, if you're questioning why they waited till after he signed his extension before they put the belt on him, you need to, you know, reassess your thinking because, you know, it's still a business at the end of the day. And they're, even if Daniel Bryan's the nicest guy in the world, they're not going to put their most prestigious title around the waist of someone that they're not for sure is going to be there.
Yeah. He was literally working for the company, threatening, saying, I can't wait till my contract's up so I can go work at like New Japan or somewhere else.
Right.
He was literally saying that. So you think they're going to trust him? No. But think about this. 60 days. Within 60 days of his contract being announced signed, because apparently the contract negotiations went past to September 1st. But within 60 days of him signing his contract, he's WWE champion. That tells you they were waiting on that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, like, for sure.
We need a long-term commitment before we put our title on you. And they put him on him as a heel, which I would not be shocked if that was Daniel Bryan's idea.
Yeah, now, from what I understand, and this is coming from Figure Four Online, that Daniel Bryan has been asking for a good little while now to let him go heel. And apparently, he asked I want to say it said 2 weeks, a week or two ago, he had a meeting with creative and he asked again, like, any word on, you know, the possibility of me, going heel in the near future. They said, no, we want to keep you as a face for the time being. And then apparently, when they got to TV yesterday morning, that's when everything changed. I don't know if it had to do with the Becky stuff or what, but there was a lot of changes made in quick, you know, in quick action. But yeah, I agree with you. It was, from everything that I've read, Daniel Bryan is the one that wanted to go heel, so I think you're right.
Yeah, and like I said, I didn't even know that. That was just completely, like, I'm just like, you get a feel for how people are. Because they, like, I don't, like I said, I don't know them as a person, but when they do a lot of interviews, you start feeling them as a wrestler, as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel Bryan is one of those people that always wants to challenge himself.
Right.
You know, he's been playing the plucky underdog for, like, years. He's been the lovable guy for, like, years. He's bored with that.
I'm sure.
Like, I'm going to make him boo me.
Okay, I have two questions. So, one question's going to be, within kayfabe, and one's going to be IRL, in real life. So let's start with in real life. What reason or reasons do you think Vince and Hunter and the booking committee or whatever, creative team, however you want to say it, what reasons did they want to suddenly put the belt on Daniel Bryan as a heel when you have this looming Survivor Series match with Brock Lesnar coming up, who is also a heel?
Okay, I think the big thing is you didn't want AJ to lose to Brock Lesnar again.
2 years in a row?
Yeah, they just think fans would have probably tried to burn the place down.
Okay.
Second of all, Brock Lesnar's not a heel. Brock Lesnar, not a heel.
You sure?
He's technically the most face wrestler. He doesn't cheat to win.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point.
He doesn't low blow anybody. He doesn't do anything.
Fair point.
Yeah, even when he lost to Goldberg, Paul Heyman could have jumped in and tackled the referee or something. No, just lost. You know?
It's a fair point.
Brock Lesnar is an ass kicker. You know, he just doesn't care who ass he kicks.
Right.
Daniel Bryan went heel. Daniel Bryan, the nut shot, the evil look on his face when he walked away, he's a heel. He is all the way heel. But Brock Lesnar is more of the gray area. So it because and then again, it doesn't matter who you put in front of Brock, because
okay,
Brock is an ass kicker. You know, so I think the match is because Daniel Bryan cheats. Now, that match is going to be a lot closer than a lot of people think. It's not going to be a squash.
Oh, you don't think? You think it'll be like a competitive match?
Oh, yeah. Because you know what? Kicking someone in the nuts makes a match competitive. Daniel Bryan has shown he will do that.
I got you. So you think their reasoning was kind of twofold is what I'm getting from you. One, they didn't want to see their world champion AJ Styles lose to their universal champion 2 years in a row. And also, it might make the match even more competitive because you got a heel Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
That ain't afraid to cheat.
And the last thing is, they are building, now we're getting in under a year before the Fox thing. And they need to show Fox that they can keep an entertaining product on. So you're going to see more interesting storylines as we get in this last year.
Okay. I dig it. All right, now let's talk within kayfabe for a moment. So Paul Heyman actually came out during the AJ Styles promo and kind of started this whole, you know, Daniel Bryan this, Daniel Bryan that, and kind of instigated a match between AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan, instigated a fight, which Shane McMahon actually turned into a match. But,
yes.
So within kayfabe, why would Paul Heyman want AJ Styles to be risking his title against Daniel Bryan, knowing that there's a chance?
AJ got really close to beating Brock Lesnar last year, and Brock doesn't think he could beat AJ. So Paul Heyman tricks AJ into defending against Daniel Bryan because Brock knows he can beat Daniel Bryan.
Okay, I like it. Should I ask you what your prediction is, or should we, let's save that to for Friday's show, shall we?
We should definitely save that for Friday. But I you know what? I think after Survivor Series, and this is not a prediction, it's not a spoiler, it's just a gut feeling I have, I think you're going to see, because of Roman Reigns' situation, I think you're going to see a lot of changes as far as the rosters.
Now, you mean like a superstar shakeup?
Yeah, I think they're gonna. Me personally, I think they're gonna announce a shakeup Monday.
Really? And I think the Monday after Survivor Series?
Yeah, I think in LA they're gonna announce a shakeup, and then they're gonna do it the next week wherever they are. Because I just think it's, the rosters are kind of unbalanced right now.
Okay.
And I think it's gonna be a way to balance out the rosters a little more as far as heel to face ratio.
Wow. Okay. Well, yeah, if we're gonna save predictions until either Thursday, tomorrow, or Friday's show.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's more to talk about on this show, I think.
Yeah, we still got plenty of stuff about Becky to talk about. We got some matches to talk about. Why don't we, you want to take it from the top?
Yep, let's take it from the top.
All right, man, so we open up SmackDown last night with kind of a recap of what happened the night before, including the SmackDown invasion, Becky Lynch kicking ass, her being soaked in blood. After these highlights, they go to the announcer's table, and what's his name? Is it Tom Phillips? Who's that main announcer right there? Is it Tom?
I think it's Tom Phillips, yeah.
He says, he gives us the announcement that everyone had been reading on Twitter, and that was that Becky Lynch has been pulled from the match with Ronda Rousey because of, and this is a quote, a fractured face and a concussion. Now, from what I understand, it's a broke nose, right? Or
a
fractured
nose?
It's
not a broke nose. If you looked at her, the picture, right?
Uh-huh.
She hit her on the, even when I was talking about it yesterday, how she was bleeding. She hit her on the side of the face, and like, it, I would probably say closer to a broken orbital bone.
So it's not. I must have misheard Corey Graves, because I thought later he said that she had a broken nose along with the concussion. I thought he must have said face as well.
I was working by watching, so I missed a lot of the commentary last time.
Gotcha. You're probably right. Because what I read was, because I heard him say fractured face several times, and so I bet Corey Graves went along with it. You know what I mean? And said face. But yeah, okay, so you're thinking maybe more of an orbital bone injury rather than a nose injury.
Yeah, because if you look on the picture that I put on. The left side of her face, you see where the thickest part of the blood is. It's not coming out of her nose. It's coming out of, like, it's like the top part of her nose in between her eye and the nose. That's where the blood's coming from.
Gotcha.
So, she didn't, like I said, she didn't really break her nose. The closest thing to say is she broke her face.
Yeah.
Because it's, you really can't say where that is. It's between the bridge of the nose and the orbital bone.
Gotcha. If I had to guess, to be honest with you, I think if it was a fracture only, I bet they would put a mask on her and let her go because the angle is so hot. I could be wrong, but I'm just guessing.
Yeah,
but because of the concussion...
Yeah.
Because of the concussion, there's no way they were going to let her wrestle.
Three years ago, she'd be wrestling.
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe not today with the fracture. 3 years ago, she would be wrestling for sure.
She'd be wrestling. They would have put like the phantom mask on her, and she would have worked.
That's exactly what I was thinking about, the Cody Rhodes mask. Remember when he wore that for a while?
Yeah. They would have put it on there and she would have worked. Because, if you know, like last night, she sounds fine.
Right.
You know, but they are being extra careful with wrestlers these days. So.
And more power to them for that. More power to them for that. You know what I mean? I would rather, we've talked about that on the show before, and you and I have agreed that we would way more rather see them mismatches like this, even though the angle is super hot, you know, to make sure that they're safe and their career is prolonged rather than capitalizing in this match while the angle is hot and risk further injury. So, good on them for being safe with her, you know what I mean? But, yeah, did you see at the beginning where they slow-moed the angle, they slow-moed the camera work and seen where Nia Jax punched her?
Yes.
That was a pretty good punch, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was an amazing punch. And it was like one of those things, like, what you're supposed to do, she swings, and, you know, you're supposed to kind of miss, and she's supposed to sell it.
Right.
And a lot of things could have been like, you know, Becky didn't get out of the way fast enough, you know, or Becky didn't turn into the punch like you're supposed to. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that you can take it. But, yeah, it just shows you, Nia Jax is a big old girl that can swing really hard.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to take a punch from her.
Did you see one punch? Did you see Becky Lynch's face?
Yeah.
One punch.
And when Becky went down, I don't think that was a sell job. I think it really kind of knocked her loopy for a second.
And then she came back. But yeah, that's what happens when you get hit by someone that's like 160 pounds heavier than you. it's not comment on Nia Jax. I mean, she's a big, beautiful woman.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But yeah, they announced her at 280.
Yeah.
Like 130. You know.
right. I got you.
I don't even think she's 130. Like, I've met her a few times. I'd say she's probably like 120. It's like, that's what happens when someone twice your size punches you in the face.
Right.
It doesn't take a lot. I mean, she might not even swung with her whole might. She's just significantly bigger than her. You know,
mm-hmm. Hook. Bah.
Yeah, it'd be like me punching a 15-year-old dude in the face. You know.
So after we get the highlights from last night's Raw, we get the announcement that Becky will not be in the match on Sunday against Ronda Rousey. We get AJ Styles coming to the ring. You know, he's set to face Brock Lesnar for the second year in a row. He mentions, like you said, that he has been defending this title for 371 days and has been the workhorse since day one of joining WWE. He's beaten all comers except for Brock. He said he's getting a second chance when most people don't even survive the first chance. I thought that was a good way to put it. Paul Heyman arrives and introduces himself. He said he's there out of respect for Styles and said that there is no one in the WWE that Brock wants to fight more than AJ. And that's because AJ is not only one of the greatest in WWE right now, but one of the greatest of all time, he says.
He says he was only second to who?
To Brock, right?
No, he said he was only second to Daniel Bryan, and that's what started.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, that's... Yeah. Man, he played that good, didn't he?
Yep, he said, you're better than Sean, you're better than Rick. The only person you're not better than is Daniel Bryan.
Ooh, you know they had to get underneath his skin, too. Kayfabe, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Styles says, we'll never see Styles versus Bryan, and Styles is not a consolation prize, as it was a pleasure to... I forgot exactly how he said it, but I think he said it was a pleasure that Brock would take the rematch or something. I can't remember. But anyway, Paul Heyman, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say AJ was my favorite part is like the most sport part of it. He's like, I've been fighting everybody, I've been beating everybody, and I've been getting better at tapping people out. And Brock Lesnar has just spent 300 that many days getting more vulnerable. I just love that because that just sounds like something an MMA guy would say to another one.
Yep.
Like, while you've been resting on your laurels and barely showing up, I've been doing nothing but getting better.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that was it. And they had that camera angle from where it was, like, on the ground, like, looking up it. Oh, yeah, it was really cool.
And then you saw kind of a... You saw kind of a worry in Paul Heyman's face.
Yes.
Like, oh, yes. Yeah. That's a true statement. What you just said was true.
Yeah, it was cool, man. Around this time, Daniel Bryan arrives and says, he said, I'm not sure why y'all are talking about me. Yes, Styles did beat me, and I accept that. Bryan respects Styles. He's been looking for a reason to punch him in the face. He says if Styles mentions his name one more time without cause, he's going to punch him right square in the face. Styles like, Paul's the one that brought your name up. And if Bryan is still hot over this, Styles mentioned his name again. And Daniel Bryan like shakes his head, you know, goes to turn around like he's walking away and pop, pops AJ Styles in the face. They start going at it. They have a pretty nice little pull apart. I like how they didn't overdo the fight. You know what I mean? I love when they do the huge pull apart where like the whole roster has to come out and stuff, but they've done it the last couple of years. They've done it, you know, quite a few times. So I like how they kind of held back and they just had, I think just the refs and the road agents came out, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So they didn't have the whole roster come out, so they didn't overdo it. Shane McMahon was the first one to come out and try to separate it. But it was good, man. It was really cool. It was an interesting way to kick off the show, don't you think?
It was definitely an interesting way to kick off the show. It was an exciting way, and it's like on these go-home shows, a lot of people write them off, but it's like Raw and SmackDown were both really good.
Yep, I agree. Shortly after that, you see Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles yelling at Shane. Shane says, y'all want to, you know, do yada, yada, yada. You put the title on the line tonight in the main event, so the match is booked. AJ Styles defending against Daniel Bryan for the title in the main event. And then we get our first match of the night, which is Andrade Cien Almas versus Jeff Hardy. And Zelina Vega was just cleared. She had a concussion, too. Do you remember how she got her concussion?
It was during a house show, from what I understand.
Oh, okay. Okay. It wasn't Brie Bella, was it?
I don't know. Honestly, I never even heard who she was wrestling.
Yeah.
I heard that she got it during a concussion. I mean, she got it during a house show. Got a concussion during a house show.
I got you. So anyway, Jeff Hardy and Andrade Cien Almas go at it. They go 7 minutes and 55 seconds. Jeff Hardy wins. I thought it was a pretty good match. Andrade Cien Almas, I love saying his name, but Almas looked great in the match, and then they have him lose yet again. Have you noticed that? He's been looking great in the matches, and then they have him lose. You think there's a reason for that, or you just think that's just how it's fallen here lately?
I just don't think they got anything to do with him right now.
I got you. Let me get a drink of coffee here. I got a little tickle in my throat or something, man. Got to have that coffee at 7:30 in the morning, man. I don't know how you go. I don't know how you don't drink coffee, man. Don't know how you do it, bro. Next, we see, we go backstage and we see Paige with Miz, Samoa Joe, and Rey Mysterio. The Miz, who is now the sole captain, right, of the team,
mm-hmm.
because Daniel Bryan, or wait, why did that work out like that?
No, they were talking about it. And he said, I don't want him on the team. And they said, okay, you can take him off the team if you can beat him.
With Rey Mysterio, right?
Yeah, if you can beat Rey Mysterio, you can get rid of him.
But why were they because Daniel Bryan was supposed to be on the team too, right?
Yes.
But how did they, so,
at that point in time,
yeah,
Daniel Bryan, I mean, they had their, it was Daniel, Shane, Ray, Samoa Joe, and Miz.
Gotcha.
They had their five.
Oh, okay. And so when he picked Jeff Hardy, they're like, that's six? Is that what it was? You know what I'm saying? Because he's saying, you know, I want Jeff Hardy on the team, and I want to kick Rey Mysterio off because he was Daniel Bryan's pick, but Daniel Bryan ain't got nothing to do with this anymore.
Yeah, so Shane, Samoa Joe, Rey Mysterio, Miz, and Daniel Bryan. So he was saying, basically, I just want to kick Rey Mysterio. I want to kick Rey Mysterio off and put Jeff Hardy on or whatever.
Gotcha.
Or whatever he wanted to do there, but it was independent of the Daniel Bryan thing.
Okay. So up until Daniel Bryan won the title, he was still on the team, right?
Correct.
But now he's not. See, I didn't realize, I don't know, I got kind of confused there because I'm like, were they like foreshadowing? Did they already know that Daniel Bryan was going to go over? And I guess they kind of did. That's why he mentions picking Jeff Hardy and putting him on the team. So Jeff Hardy,
even though I believe Ray went ahead and beat The Miz, right?
Yeah, Ray went over.
And even though Ray went over because Daniel Bryan won, they announced later on that Jeff Hardy was taking Daniel Bryan's spot.
Gotcha. Yeah, so like I said, Miz says that he wants to add Jeff Hardy. He wants to take Rey Mysterio off and replace him with Jeff Hardy. Paige says, if you want Rey off the team, you're going to have to beat him. And that match, you know, I think she does the whole, you know, that match is going to be next or whatnot. After that, we see a Nakamura interview where it was kind of hard to understand him, but basically he said last night, Seth Rollins said, you know, he's not thinking about me. He's only thinking about Dean Ambrose, and that breaks my heart, so I'm going to break Seth Rollins' face. That was pretty much all he said. Then we see The Miz going up against Rey Mysterio. It was a good match. It went just under 8 minutes. Rey Mysterio wins with a crucifix cradle type roll up.
Yeah.
They've had a couple of matches together, and I always thought they're pretty good. The Miz and Rey Mysterio, but good match. Not really much to talk about until after the match. After the match, Randy Orton shows up and tries to hit an RKO on Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio, oh, he zigs and zags and bop, gets out of it. And it was so funny because The Miz, Randy Orton, they're both kind of wobbly. They back into each other. Randy Orton turns around. The Miz turns around. They look at each other. The Miz goes, oh, shit, and gets an RKO. I thought it was pretty funny. So The Miz, you know, just gets his ass beat all the way around. We cut backstage. We see security just in case anybody from Raw shows up. They got every exit covered, he said. Then we see, you know, where they give some of their time to that country music show that's premiering directly after SmackDown. And then they cut back to backstage where Becky Lynch is talking to one of the producers of the show. And she's got a brutal black eye. So do you think that was truly her black eye, or you think some makeup was added to it?
Oh, no, that was her black eye.
Was that, you think it was real?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked pretty brutal. If that was real and there was no makeup added, because, you know, they have been known to, you know, embellish the injuries and stuff.
Yeah.
But it looked pretty brutal. Like, what's funny is I seen Brian Pillman Jr. Do you follow him on Twitter?
Yes, I do.
You should go look at his tweet from last night or this morning. I can't remember. I seen it this morning, so I bet it was from last night. He said that he was raised, he grew up being told that a good black eye every once in a while helps kayfabe fans, or helps like make the business look real, you know, or sell a business. I can't remember exactly how he said it, but pretty much he was saying a good black eye every once in a while on a competitor is a good thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty funny. You ought to check it out.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I was like, if I found out in 10 years or 5 years that they didn't want Becky to lose, so they said, Nia, just hit her as hard as you can, I would believe it.
I mean, yeah, you're really not lying. Like, I'm laughing, but I mean, I'm laughing because it's true. You know what I mean?
Because it's just like one of those things. Becky is so hot right now. To give us this match Sunday would have been stupid. I was already on the camp that if they did the match Sunday, when they did the match Sunday, it needed to be some kind of screw job where no one actually won. I thought they needed to go old school with it because this match should be on Mania. It should be a Mania match.
Yeah. And like I said at the beginning of the show, that's what Meltzer is saying. He said that there's rumblings within the WWE that it's going to be the co-main event of WrestleMania. And I agree with you because I feel like if they would have put this match on, Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey at Survivor Series, they would have screwed it up and they would have cooled somebody off. Because Ronda's hot right now, Becky's even hotter, and it's hard to say that that is, that anyone can come out of that match, you know, looking better. Like, someone's got to take a loss, right? Unless they do, you know, a double count out or something like that. And I don't know. They could do more damage than good by putting them in this match when it's not at WrestleMania. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like, and this is just me spitballing. I don't expect them to do this, but it's something I would think to do. Becky, like Tuesday night, they strip Becky of the title, you know, flat out, you know, because generally the way WWE does it, if they have a concussion, they're not letting you wrestle for like a month.
Right, and you're talking about last night.
When it comes, we're doing that match, and then when it comes the next Tuesday, I would strip her of the title. She would relinquish the title. And then, you know, she's cutting these promos, and then when she comes back and says, I'm not going to the SmackDown Live title anymore. It's like, we all know that this is my show and that's my belt. I'm officially announcing in a month. I'm officially announcing my name in the Royal Rumble. I'm going to win the Royal Rumble, and then I'm going to challenge Ronda at WrestleMania and just call her shot. Because that would have been like such a Stone Cold thing to do.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I remember when Stone Cold said, he threw the Intercontinental title in the river. He's like, I got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. And just say that. She's like, it's personal. I'm chasing Ronda, you know, that kind of thing.
That's a good point, man. That's a good point,
but,
yeah.
Like I said, that's how I would do it. But, again, you know, they're going to do it their way, and I just think she's going to make it work.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. I like it. Next, we see Paige coming out. She calls out Charlotte, Lana, Carmella, The Iconic, Sonya, Mandy, Naomi, and Asuka.
Yeah, they do a two-hour show. Was it absolutely necessary that they all get their entrances?
I don't know why they didn't just do jobber intro, man. Come back from commercial and they're already all in the ring, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it kind of made it feel jam-packed, the show. You know what I mean? I liked it. I thought, I liked SmackDown as a whole, you know, but I digress. See, I'll get off track quick, man. Between me and you, huh? Paige discusses Becky's injuries and why she can't compete on, or how she can't be. Man, I'm all tongue tied over here. She discusses Becky's injuries and how she can't compete on Sunday. There, finally got it right. Paige says that Becky will handpick her replacement tonight, and then Becky makes her way out. Dude, that crowd absolutely loved her, did they not?
Yeah, it's one of those things that I don't think they realize how good they have it with her, because she is super over right now.
Yes, dude, she is over, bro. Each one of the female wrestlers, they kind of make their case real quick. You know what I mean? Like, you know, she's walking by each one, and they're like, pick me. She goes all the way through, and she picks Charlotte, she shakes her hand, and then they give each other a hug, and she whispers something in Charlotte's ear. All right, so now we're going to stay right here for a second.
I didn't like this.
Yeah, that's what I was about to. You already knew. What did you think? You already said you didn't like it. Let's go into that a little bit, and then tell me what you would have done, who you would have picked, all that jazz.
I would have picked Charlotte, but I would have said something smart ass like, "I know you're probably going to let me down."
Ooh. But you would have healed it up.
Yeah, I would have healed it up, or just, you know, kept the badass Becky. But the whole hugging her and whispering in her ear after they just had death battles.
Right.
Yeah, it didn't make a lot of sense to me.
I agree. I'm going to tell you what I would have done, and I actually texted our compadre, Mr. Marvelous Mike. Me and him was texting this morning before the show, And he gave me a good point of view, and I want to share this with you, and you tell me what you think, because I actually kind of liked it. But, I'm going to play devil's advocate along with it as well, though. He said that she should have picked Asuka and let Asuka and Ronda go at it at Survivor Series, right? So I like that idea, but I think that they have done such a disservice to Asuka's character in the last few months. Since Ronda got there, they've pretty much buried Asuka and have done nothing with her and just, I mean, have totally taken all the shine that she brought, that she went all the way through NXT undefeated. She brought up, she, you know, all that time she went undefeated, you know, she won the mixed match challenge. I mean, Asuka was the hottest female in wrestling until Ronda got there, and then they just forgot about her. Now she's taken several losses. So if they would, what I'm getting at is if they would have kept Asuka as hot as she was, or kept her undefeated, or, you know, not even kept her undefeated, but, you know, still treated her character correctly, I think that would have been a perfect match, Asuka versus Ronda. But the reason that I would also go with Charlotte instead of Asuka in this situation is because they've treated Asuka's character like crap. What do you think about Marvelous Mike saying that they should have picked Asuka?
I think you could have made Asuka versus Ronda a bigger deal. I don't want Asuka versus Ronda on 5 days. I honestly don't want Charlotte versus Ronda on 5 days. I like a light, I like a nice little build. But yeah, Asuka has not been Asuka, and since she lost at WrestleMania, I mean, and even like last night on Mixed Match Challenge, she tapped out the to Charlotte Flair again.
Yes, man. And yeah. See, yeah, like that's what I told Marvelous Mike. Like if they would have treated Asuka's character, you know, like perfectly, or not even perfectly, if they would have just taken care of the character and not just thrown her by the wayside as soon as Ronda came in, then yeah, I would have picked. They just ruined Asuka so much, man. They've just ruined her.
That's why I've always said with wrestling, instead of worrying about building characters, they should just tell good stories. And the whole Asuka thing, they built her character so much. After she lost, I knew it was going to be a drop-off, because that's what happens with every wrestler. It happened with Rusev. It happened with Goldberg. After you build up a streak and then they lose, it's hard to pivot from that.
Right. Yeah.
You're the streak person. Well, you don't have a streak. So when's the new streak starting? That's the questions that you start instead of focusing on developing the character.
Mm-hmm.
So Asuka's kind of got, again, I've always said, Asuka got pushed back because she's the same character as Ronda Rousey.
Yep. Which, man, that kind of shows how short-sighted WWE is. You know what I mean? Or how much tunnel vision they got. But, you know, that's probably
It's absolutely true. It's just, you can have the one thing about WWE is that they have their individual performers like brands, and it's just stupid to a point. It's like, well, Randy Orton does the RKO. No one else can do any type of version of that move.
Yeah.
And that's just, there's only a certain amount of moves.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get it. But
you know, you got everybody doing backstabbers now because you can't do an RKO.
Right. No, yeah, no, I agree. But, you know, how do I want to word this? Like, you know, like we talked about yesterday, I think the why so many people like our show is because we always look at the bright side of the product that WWE is putting out, when so many shows, so many people out there are looking at the dark side. I know we've been a little bit more negative on this show this particular episode than we are, but that's not all because of WWE. It's, you know, a lot of it has to do with the untimely injury that Becky Lynch suffered. But I do think
Now, let me clarify. I love this show.
Yeah, I did too. It's thought it was a great episode. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's all I was saying is I just love this show. I just don't want anyone to think I didn't love the episode. These are like, everyone's already talking about the positive stuff as positive. So when I feel like I have something different, I'll probably speak more on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I get that. I totally get that. And, you know, really the main negative thing that I've really harped on or that I want to get across is that they have effed up Asuka's character. That's one thing. But, you know, besides that, I think they made the best choice that they could in the Charlotte thing. I think I liked the surprise title change with Daniel Bryan. Like you said, it was unexpected, and that's what I like. You know what I mean? Like, I thought it was phenomenal. But back to the picking Charlotte and having her go up against Ronda Rousey this Sunday, I got another question for you, and it's something that we've talked about. I think we've talked two or three times about the possibility of this storyline that slash feud happening. I think we've talked about it two or three times on the show, you and I. And that is, do you think, and my question is, do you think now that we have Charlotte versus Ronda on a pay-per-view, are we going to see anything resembling a horsewoman versus horsewoman feud, or you think no?
I think they save it for now.
You think they're going to save it? You don't think, there's no run-ins or anything like that?
I mean, they're both free. Because Bayley and Sasha didn't make it on the Survivor Series team. So they're free, but I don't think they're going to give it to us yet.
I got you.
I think it's going to take a true betrayal by Ronda. It's probably going to take Natty turning on Ronda, and then she feels like she has no friends, and then they'll build up the angle. I guess I don't have any friends on this roster, so I have to bring in my own.
That's a good point. That's a good point. And, you know, even though Shayna Baszler is such a vital part of NXT, she's, you know, they're going to go off of as a lot of main roster fans don't know who she is. Even though a lot of them probably do, you know, I don't think they're going to bring Shayna Baszler up and the other two members of the MMA Four Horsewomen. They're not going to bring them up without... you know, at least giving them some time in the spotlight to let the fans know who they are. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I do think that when that storyline goes on, that we're already going to know all the players, all the pieces pretty well before they align, if that makes any sense at all. But now we see Charlotte getting interviewed backstage about what happened. She said that she spent half her career fighting with Becky, against Becky, and now on Sunday she's going to fight for Becky. She said that she's going to prove her SmackDown superiority. I can't say superior. Say the word for me.
Superiority.
That's it, my man. That's it. After the commercial break, we see New Day versus The Bar and Big Show in a six-man tag. Not really much to talk about here. I didn't feel like. Went 7.5 minutes. Big Shot hits the KO and pins Kofi Kingston. What'd you think?
I thought this was an unnecessary match.
Yeah, same here. I think the two-on-two matches that The Bar and New Day have a lot more energy and are a lot better matches. Would you agree?
Yeah, and it's like, unless you have someone as big as The Big Show that The Big Show's selling for, it's basically a squash match.
Right, right.
And he didn't sell at all, so I was like, why are we doing this?
Yeah, I agree. Did you know, when they brought Big Show over from WCW that his first contract, they were trying to get him to come over so bad when they were trying to, you know, they were having the Monday Night Wars. They gave him a 10-year contract for $1 million a year downside guarantee.
I did not know that.
And that was in like 1999. That's a hell of a contract and you know, he was young. He's like early 20s.
Yeah, and he was a former, you know, he was a WCW champion, and it was hot during the Attitude Era. So, I mean, I can imagine.
Yeah. I just thought that was pretty cool, man. Can you imagine at, you know, and that probably doesn't sound like a lot to some people that pay attention to sports contracts and stuff. You know, you see like KD getting $26 million guaranteed. But you know, this is, for one thing, this is wrestling, and back then, you know, people weren't making $1 million. Like, you know, in 96, or 97, whenever, or it might even been 98, whenever, Bret Hart, The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels were the three biggest things on WWE programming, Undertaker and Shawn Michaels' downside guarantee was only $750,000. So, yeah. In comparison, bringing a guy in to give him 10 years, $10 million guaranteed for a young guy coming in from the enemy, basically, that was a pretty big deal.
Yeah, and the most important part about that, I think, is the fact that they didn't ever saw him as the number one guy. They just saw him as a piece. So they gave that much money to someone that they didn't consider number one.
Right. That's a good point. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, he definitely wasn't looking at him as like the guy was going to like choke slam and pin Stone Cold or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. So next we see the Usos down, I guess, in the boiler room, man. They met up with the Colognes, the Good Brothers, and Sanity. What'd you think about this promo?
I thought it was an amazing promo. When Usos went through that first stretch of the Uso Penitentiary, and they were cutting the scathing hardcore promos, it was great, you know, where one would start the sentence and the other one would finish it, and it was just, I've always loved that style of promo for them. That, to me, that brought back to it, and the way that they kind of looked at everybody, and the colognes even got on TV, and it was just like, yeah, I just thought it was very intense.
I did too, man. The Usos are, boy, those kids are hot, bruh.
Yeah, they are. They fire when it comes to those promos.
That's true.
I can't wait to see them versus AOP. I think they can put on a really good match if they wanted to.
Man, I can only imagine, dude. I hope we finally see the Usos on a WrestleMania, a real WrestleMania, you know?
Yeah.
Because they've never had one, right?
I think they were on the main show last year with the New Day.
Did they finally get on there for that? Or it wasn't a pre-show match or anything?
I don't think it was the pre-show match. And I think I think they lost.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. So after that, man, that was it. Because next we get the championship match between AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan. What did you think of the match? Let's talk about the match now.
Yeah, no, I thought the match was amazing. I had it at 4. I thought it was a solid 4, and it was like out of shock value, probably could go up to a 4.5, just based on I wasn't expecting that to happen. But I thought they told the story well. I thought Daniel Bryan's gradually getting more frustrated until the point where he snapped. I thought that was well, but I thought they just told a really good story. It was kind of like an old school ROH style match to a point.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It was kind of like a ROH match.
And they were both working the body part, and they were getting all their moves in. It was fun.
Yeah. I always look up what Larry Zonka says when it comes to TV matches. Any matches that, you know, go above 3 stars, basically, is usually, or really crappy matches. I always like to see his write-up about them. So I'm going to read what Zonka said. It was kind of, he just wrote a paragraph on it. He said, while not as good as the previous match, I did think that this match was good stuff. The Becky change was expected due to the injury, but for the second year in a row, they decided to blow up the WWE versus Universal title plans and pulled a title change just before the event. And what he's talking about is last year, at the last minute, AJ Styles wins the title from Jinder, correct?
Yeah, so last minute that they did it in a different country.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. They did it in Manchester, right?
Yeah, it was in, yeah.
Yeah. On one hand, I was excited for Styles versus Lesnar too, but I have also always wanted to see Bryan versus Lesnar. But I didn't imagine it this way, which is a heel versus heel match instead of a natural underdog face versus monster heel match. Also, while Bryan has shown he can be a great heel, It feels a bit out of nowhere, despite some little teases and, let's see, and it ruins what I felt was a natural story of Daniel Bryan overcoming the odds as the returning from retirement babyface to win the title. That story felt so easy to me. I guess we'll see what happens. Although while I think Daniel Bryan will do well in this role, I'm not the biggest fan of it personally. So Zonka pretty much said that he did not, you know, he obviously didn't see it coming. None of us did. And he's not the biggest fan of Daniel Bryan going heel. If you had a preference, and we're not talking about just the, not talking about just the Lesnar match, but even going past that, would you have kept Daniel Bryan in this, you know, the babyface underdog role, like holding on to his title, or do you like it more with him going heel and cheating to hold on to the title?
I like him going heel, cheating to go on to the title. You could always go back to that underdog role anytime you want to. It's like, it's a role he's really good at playing. But right now, it was just like, it was with AJ as the champion. Love AJ. It was kind of stale. SmackDown needed a shot in the arm, and I thought that was a much-needed shot in the arm.
I like it. I like it, man. I like it a lot. So after Daniel Bryan wins, he puts the boots to AJ. Did you see he grabbed both of AJ's hands? You know, AJ's laying on his back on the ground. He grabs both his hands. Yeah, and pulls them just enough where, you know, his torso is off the ground and his head is like, you know, lean back because he's not on the ground anymore, and just goes to stomping his head, dude. It looked mean. Looked real mean.
Yeah, that's one of my moves on the video game.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of cool because that's one of the moves I do on the video game.
That's funny. To be honest, the last thing that I have to say about SmackDown was when that beatdown was going down, I was expecting a Raw invasion of sorts. They teased it all night, never came. Were you expecting that at all?
I was expecting a Raw invasion, but I'm glad they didn't.
Why is that? Just because we were expecting it?
Because we were expecting it, man. I am very much on, I don't care what you do. I don't care if my favorites win. Make me want to watch next week. Right? Yeah. They did a really good job of that. I am very excited about SmackDown next week. I'm very excited about Survivor Series. They did a really good job of making me not be able to wait until the next show. And that's all I want. I'm like, dude, that's how I feel about wrestling. I mean, wrestling's a TV show to me, you know. And I know a lot of people treat it as a sporting event. They have their favorites, but it's a TV show to me. And I want a TV show to take me on a journey. I don't want to know everything that's happening. I don't want just my favorites to win every time. I want to be taken on an emotional journey. I want to feel.
I dig
it. Last night made me feel.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like shock. I was sad about the Becky Lynch thing. I was, you know, I had my happiness moment that we're going to get AJ and Daniel in a show, you know, and it's like my whole know-it-all aspect of it. They threw that on its head last night.
It's true, man.
Yeah.
Very true.
And the Usos got me amped for a throwaway match.
I know, that man. I know.
That 10-on-10 Survivor Series match, they cut that promo and was like, huh, I wonder who's going to win. My chest all puffing up because I'm ready to go to war now, you know? So, yeah, last night was, like, to me, like a perfect episode of wrestling. It took me on an emotional journey. It was an A to me in every way across the board.
I like it. An A. An A, boy. I love it, man. I just absolutely love it. You got to give WWE their due when they put on a good show. You know, we always talk about the glasses half full on this show, but, you know, we will call WWE out quick when they do something that we don't like, but we're just as quick to praise them when they do something good, and tonight was definitely a hit. Last night was definitely a hit, rather.
They did a good job.
Yeah, I agree, man. I totally agree. And that is today's show, man. So why don't you tell everybody where you spend the weekends at, man?
All right. I spend my weekends on Around the Ring. Me and my friend Ryan, we record a show, and it is uploaded by Sunday at noon. This week we're going to be previewing the shows from the week. You can hit us up on Facebook or Twitter as Around the Ring OK.
Awesome. Awesome, man. Yeah. Everyone listening, definitely go check out Around the Ring. It's a great show. Gotta love Floyd and Ryan on there. Great co-host material. Great show. Just great show all around. They're on the Chair Shot too, man. We're all a big Chair Shot family here. Don't forget to follow us on social media as well. Floyd, as always, I tell you every day, every week, man, I always learn something new from you, so I appreciate it so much. You know, co-hosting the show with me every single day like you do. I love it. I love it very much. So everyone out there listening, thank y'all so much for tuning in today. For Floyd and myself, everyone stay strong and too sweet.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?